Page 195. Furthermore, he sought to show that in a developed capitalist system, the fetishism of commodities penetrates all spheres of social life, the factory becoming the model of all social relations, the fate of the worker, the typical human fate. In other words, he attempted to extend and expand the category of commodity fetishism beyond the merely economic, hence the new term reification, by translating it in terms of that realization which Weber discovered in all the spheres of modern capitalism. On the other hand, he tried to make Weber's category of rationalization more dynamic by identifying commodity fetishism under a developed capitalist system as its paradigmatic form and even more important as its hidden dynamic. He then sought to show that commodity fetishism moves toward its own self-defetishization and self-abolition. All these intentions, which attempt to give a Marxist answer to Weber's social theory, are incorporated in the concept of reification. It is important to stress that to Lukács' reification was not a subjective illusion. Human relationship under capitalism are, in fact, thing-like, sachliche relations of personal and social relations of things, sache. Footnote 28, text. Lukács systematically uncovers both the objective and the subjective sides of this reduction. Footnote 29, text. The world of commodity exchange objectively constitutes a second nature of pseudo-things, which from the subjective point of view appears as the estrangement of human activity and the deactivization of individuals. On the objective side, human labor is abstracted in exchange when it is reduced to labor power with a price, and in production where it is made increasingly interchangeable with other abstract labors. On the subjective side, the abstraction of laboring activity appears to the worker as demagicization, as the progressive elimination of the qualitative human and individual attributes of the worker. Footnote 30, text. Taylorism, the final step in the mechanization of the worker, separating and controlling his psychological attributes, is the final step in demagicization. Atomization and fragmentation characterizes not only the objective subdivision of the product and the work process, but also the reduction of the worker to a single partial operation. The laborer is mutilated into a fragment of a man. Footnote 31, text. He is reduced to a mere spectatorship, to mere contemplation of his own estranged activity and that of his fellows. Atomization among workers is the consequence, as one would also expect from the broad movement described by Tönnies, as that from community to society. Page 196. Lukács insists he is not merely describing the reification of the worker in capitalist production, but that the fate of the atomized, fragmented, reduced worker becomes the typical human fate in capitalist society. Having identified narrow specialization as one of the shapes of reification, he had no difficulty in extending the concept to bureaucracy and to the contemporary organization of knowledge. Having identified the passive contemporary contemplative attitude of the specialized worker toward his own activity and toward the product of which he produces only a small part. With the reification of the consciousness, he was also able, though not without some distortion, to bring the narrowly specialized and anti-philosophical social and natural sciences under this heading. And even where he could identify some conscious recognition of the destructive consequences of reification, as in classical German philosophy and in art, he was able to show that the inability to imagine the conquest of commodity fetishism and reification in social practice leads to regression even in the case of the most promising attempts at defetishization. It was, however, Lukács' belief that the social theory, which is able systematically and essentially to link the phenomena of reification to the total society, would be a small step toward defetishization if it corresponded to or met halfway another step, a step toward class consciousness, on the part of those to whom the theory was addressed, the industrial proletariat. Lukács even attempted to work out a conception that would make the self-consciousness of workers about the reduction of the qualitative aspects in their life at least objectively possible. Footnote 32. Text. Lukács's answer to Weber's ultimately depended on his ability to demonstrate commodity fetishism as the secret dynamic behind the rationalization of all the social spheres, and even more on his conception of the working class as ultimately the identical subject-object of capitalist society. The theory of reification clearly shows how workers are objects of the system. It even demonstrates that immediately the consciousness of workers is perhaps the most victimized by reification. Lukács' claim for their potential subjectivity depends less on the labor theory of value, which he does use, than on his belief, never really grounded, that the objectively possibly self-consciousness of workers is already a practical action, an action that moreover would prepare the ground for the successful reception of revolutionary theory by its proper addressees. Footnote 33, text. The working class is thus only potentially the subject of the capitalist period and is actually the subject only of revolutionary transformation. Page 197. It is a paradox of Frankfurt theory that of its theorists, T.W. Adorno did more than anyone to interrogate contemporary culture with the concept of reification even after the main line of the school had more or less abandoned the proletariat as the subject of history. Footnote 34, text. And the other hand, Walter Benjamin, in his debate with Adorno, based himself in the subjectivity of the proletariat. Footnote 35. Text. Disregarding the heavy consequences of the theory of reification, which at the very least showed the difficulties facing class consciousness. The concept of critique. The concept of reification enabled Lukács to surpass the schematic reading of Marxism, either as merely a better version of political economy and or as a theory of history based on the primacy of the economic in all social formations. In terms of his concept of the reification of consciousness, classical political economy qualifies as a more or less accurate rendition of the surface phenomena of the second nature of civil society. The ideological distortion of political economy becomes especially evident when its main proponents project specific characteristics of capitalism into all social life, past and future. Marxism is first of all a critique of political economy because it destroys this unhistorical illusion by uncovering, as did the Grundrisse especially, the specificity of pre-capitalist social formation and by pointing out the objective possibility for Marx, generally necessity, of a future order based on entirely new and liberated formative principles. But the best-known economic deterministic version of historical materialism does not escape the fate of political economy in the medium of critique. Footnote 36, text. Even if it does not project all the characteristics of capitalism into the past and the future, historically materialism does illegitimately so project the primacy of a relatively independent economic base. However, the self-critique of historical materialism, that is, the application of the method of ideologic critique to orthodox historical materialism cannot be completed. According to Lukács, until the establishment of socialist society. For the time being, the crude version of the theory remains an important weapon in the class struggle. Footnote 37, text. Thus, the bulk of Lukács' reification thesis is anchored in a critique of political economy and not yet a more general concept of ideological critique that the self-critique of historical materialism itself, partly under the aegis of the reification of the economy, would have necessarily inaugurated. But as we have seen, the integration of Max Weber's work already meant that the descriptive aspects, not the dynamic of the critique of political economy, are unfolded rather as a general critique of sociology. Page 198. It was through the use of the strongly Hegelian concept of mediation that Lukács was able to distinguish the critique of political economy and sociology from the science of political economy and sociology. Hegel's concept of mediation reformulated is a key to both Lukács' and Adorno's reconstruction of Marxism as the critique of political economy. For Lukács, footnote 38, text, a theory mediates the frozen, immediately given, reified surface of reality presented by political economy and sociology to the extent that it first recognizes Anerkennung and reduplicates and second raises to self-consciousness, Aufhebung, the imminent tendencies of its object moving toward self-realization. Mediation is defetishization. The appearances of reality are first recognized as such, then detached from their immediate context, and are finally related to the soul whole, the vision of which is fragmented by reification. But this relating mediates only because the addressees of the theory, the proletariat, defetishizes themselves in the practical recognition of themselves as a commodities, as object of the capitalist system. The addressees, that is, practical mediation when already in motion, discover the full form of their self-consciousness, Klassenbewusstsein, in the theory. The theory, that is, theoretical mediation, discovers its reality and that of its categories in its being so recognized by its addressees. This is elegant Hegelian theorizing, but it sounds rather hollow 50 years later. Adorno's adoption of the concept of reification and mediation carries the burden of the most crucial part of these 50 years. in spite of the tendencies of dialectic of enlightenment and negative dialectics to inflate reification as the fate of civilization itself, and eventually to deny the key role of the category in an analysis with emancipator's intent, Adorno's cultural critique surely accepted and worked with Lukács' exposition of the immediate forms of reification under advancing capitalism.